Good morning. Thanks for being with us in church today. Today we examine the Word of God in the context of the teaching ministry of Jesus. It's well known that Jesus taught in parables at a certain time in his earthly ministry. Jesus did little else than teach in parables. But was this true of everyone he spoke to? Did he even speak this way in private to his family, for example? Did he only speak in parables when he was doing the public teaching? And we're fortunate to have many explanations of his parables as well, but they're not all explained. Have you noticed that when you read them? They're not all explained. And we do need some kind of explanation because the parables, despite what some people say about them, they're actually quite complicated, many of them. Our text will be Mark chapter 4. It's been for Jesus a long day of teaching. He's been in a boat in the Sea of Galilee, just pushed off the shore, calling out to people, speaking in a big loud voice, teaching the people of Galilee in parables. And so our subject is, why parables? What's happened here? Answers from God's Word. Let's pray as we turn to it. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would guide us as we hear your Word. We know there are mysteries contained within it, but we don't want to be in the dark because you promised to give wisdom to those who ask, and so we ask for that now. Wisdom and understanding into God's Word. Could you teach us what this means? Can we apply it to our lives by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit so that we would be refined in our thinking, we would be righteous in conduct and have clean hands before you and other people? Lead us in the paths of righteousness today. Give us understanding, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a quick update from the church planter training in Nepal. It went ahead this week. It was completed this week on Wednesday. Around 80 Nepalese delegates gathered for Bible teaching this week. IMM is the organization doing the teaching, International Mission Ministries, and they have with them a parachurch group, Every Daughter Matters, which is the anti-human trafficking, both of those in operation this week. But these church planters are not doing the anti-human trafficking. That's a different work. I mean, they may be involved in some ways, but many of them are not in the border hotspots. So two things were going on this week. But we are given the opportunity to contribute to the work of these church planters and their training. It's a three-year training block. They gather twice a year for training. And it would be my plan, God willing, to go there this year in September. That will be second, the completion of two of the 3 years of their training. And we can give resources. I've been through this in the past. In recent weeks, I've showed you some of the resources. I won't go through all that again to now. Pastors are gathering for morning devotions. That's how they start their day, early morning devotions. They sing and read the Bible together for about half an hour before they have breakfast, and then they will reconvene for the training. And then they have to watch one of my videos. I produced 5 10-minute videos this year for them, complete with Nepalese translation. And who knows how good that is, but, you know, I've used the best tools I can find, and I send examples across to them in emails or in text messages, and they reply, yeah, that one's okay. So there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing goes on into the translation, but I don't have time to get it all done, so yeah, it's a little bit hit and miss. Five videos, 10-12 minutes each, were on Revelation chapter 12. And here's the avatar I created to read the Bible in Nepali for them. So I just put the Nepali Bible text into a program which reads it out in a voice of your choosing. We can create a voice and then you can get a little model to mouth the words as well. So we did that for them. And all 5 videos were played successfully, I've heard. That was good fun and very instructional for them. So there's a little bit of humour in there as well. And they got a good sense of humour, so they needed that. What a blessing to be able to give them such resources. 10,000 kilometres away, these pastors. And I hope it'll be a permanent teaching resource for them in the future. So that's church planter training this week, and I thought you'd enjoyed an update. Why do we teach? Why do we go to the trouble of teaching other people the Bible? This is a lot of effort to go to. My life would be a lot easier if I just did nothing, right? Wouldn't it? That's true of all of us, isn't it? Why do we go to such trouble to teach the Bible to people? We're looking at the teaching method of Jesus today, and there are some serious answers to our questions in what he says. This is probably here in Mark's gospel. Look, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have lots of parables. Those are called the synoptic gospels because there's some similarities between them. John does not have any parables, so we can't go to him for an explanation of why the parables are taught. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all discuss the parables and why they're taught. They have unique parables, each one. We're going to probably see one today as well. And then we have the explanation of what the teaching method is all about. We're doing this because we're working our way through the early chapters of Mark's gospel. And I think you'll find that there are three important things in our text to pick up today when we're asking the question about parables. Jesus says three things are important here, and I want you to pick them up when we read the text. The importance of hearing well. If you have ears, you must hear. The importance of hearing well. Secondly, the importance of working well, doing something with what you hear, putting it into action. And the importance of judging well, Jesus will say. Being a good listener, being a good labourer, being a good discerner of the truth. It's Mark chapter 4, Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he's in teaching mode. So let's listen in, verse 21. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Three kinds of hearing are spoken of here, or should we say three aspects of hearing, and let me highlight them for you. The first one simply is that you should hear, that you should be a good listener. Some people listen, some people don't. You should be a listener. And it's talking about listening to the Word of God. Let's be clear about that. In black and white terms, you should be a good listener to the Word of God. How do we know that he's talking about the Word of God? How do we know he's not talking about any good philosophy that flowed out of Greek culture to the people of his day? Any good advice that some wise old rabbi might have for them? How do you know he's not now talking about into the future, the latest scientific discoveries, that maybe that's what we should be listening to? Maybe we should be taking our cues from what the world's scientists say. How do we know he's talking about the Word of God? Well, the answer is because of the context. So it is difficult to read, you know, several chapters before and after in a setting like this, but you should, if you have the time, leading up to these verses. Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Galilee has been telling parables to hordes of people, hordes of Galileans, and the one he just told prior to this is the parable of the sower who scatters seed on the four types of soil. That's a parable told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so it's obviously fairly significant. And in the parable of the sower, Jesus clearly says, in the starkest terms, that the seed is the Word of God. He says it. So we know from the context that that's what he's talking about here. It cannot be anything else. So Jesus is not saying in these parables that you should just listen to any advice your pastor gives you on every subject. Like, what would he know on some things? Let's be honest, he could be wrong also. People will let you down at some stage, but the Word of God is different. It will never fail. The second aspect of listening is, of course, what you listen to. Being a good listener is one thing, but what are you listening to? Or more importantly, who are you listening to? And we kind of covered that already. And the third aspect is how you listen. There's hearing, like when you tell your teenage children they need to clean up their room, and they go, yes, Dad, absolutely. No, they go, yeah, whatever. Like, they won't even get off their phone while you're talking to them and they're answering you, right? There's that kind of hearing. And then there's another kind of hearing, like when the doctor is explaining what new disease you've just got. He says, I need to tell you what you've got and what's going to happen. That's a different kind of hearing altogether. That's listening closely, as Jesus says. So Jesus is saying, listen to the Word of God. Make sure you are listening to the Word of God. Be careful what you are listening to and be careful how you listen. Pay attention. You are like soil. Will you be like soil which is receiving the good seed? All right. So let's move on now. We've got how you listen, what you're listening to, that you should listen, what you're listening to, and how you should listen. And then Jesus makes this point in verse 25. Listening properly, he says, gets a reward for you with more things to listen to. Listen to this. It's a reward for true listening. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. Right? You listen, and more will be there to listen to. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So let's make no mistake here. The quality of your listening is being judged by God. That's what Jesus is pointing out. God is making an analysis of what kind of listener you are, and he is responding in this life to how you listen. More is given to you in your Christian life for you to grow with. And some things are taken away from you if you react incorrectly, inappropriately to the word of God. I can't put it in any bolder terms than that. God is the judge of your heart, and he is watching and taking notice to see how you listen. This is not a test of your IQ. It's not your ability to remember things, not even Bible verses. That's not what's being spoken of here. It's your posture of listening. Jesus says to listen to the word of God. Pay attention to what it's saying in a way that will apply to your life, so it will go into action. Yet the distractions of this life seem just so powerful to us some days. Jesus says, be careful what you're listening to. We looked at your Spotify or how you fill your spare time. What is it you are feeding on through listening every day? Who are you listening to? Because who you're listening to is who you're taking your cues from in life. Jesus calls us closer. Come closer and pay attention. Okay, he's in a boat and drifting out from the people. Okay, that bit doesn't make sense. But anyway, come closer, people. That's far enough. Come closer to God's word in your life and pay attention, because this is important. Which direction will you take your first step once you hear the word of God? Closer to him or farther away from him? Well, the action has been taking place around the Sea of Galilee near Capernaum, the kind of region where you would see lots of farmers scattering seed. This is not a built-up area. It's not a city. It's a rural area. The ruins of the synagogue Jesus went into are still there, at least at ground level. And there's a waterfront home, which someone once called the house of Peter's mother-in-law. I'm not so sure about that, but it's at ground level underneath that octagonal monstrosity they put over the top of it. Jesus was just out on that water in a boat speaking to the crowds, telling parables like the parable of the sower. But then we read later, Jesus was alone with his disciples, and there's one or two hangers on, but he's alone with his disciples later, and they ask him to explain the parables to them because they don't understand. They're not listening yet, but they have stepped closer to Jesus to ask for understanding. That's the key point here. And as I said before, Matthew and Luke have long explanations. But Mark here at this point, as the explanation comes, Mark gives us an extra parable the others don't have. It's unique to Mark. It's the parable of the growing seed, and it's part of the answer Jesus gives. That's why we study Mark as well as the other Gospels, and we need to read it. So verse 26, Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Here's the point I'd like to make about that. The true work of God that he's doing in you by his Holy Spirit cannot be seen the way other things in you are seen. But it should be eventually. It's an inner transformation put into effect by the Holy Spirit. And it's not often until years later that some comparisons are made. In verse 27, the farmer knows it's happening, but he does not understand how it happens. It's miraculous to him. We know that it does happen, but we don't know how it happens. It's a mystery. I'm in a Facebook group with some old high school friends from decades ago, and you kind of assume that they're still all the same as they were in school, but of course they're not. And I'm not the same as I was in high school, praise God. And I look back over the past few decades, and when I think about myself in school, year 10 or something, and now I think, wow, God really has been at work. I didn't do it. God really has been at work. And this week, yet another classmate passed away, a girl who sat there, you know, year after year, all through the years, and all the comments go up and all the memories and things, and it just reminds me, God has been at work. And time is limited. You know, when your schoolmates are passing away, you're confronted with your own mortality in a way that's kind of unique. Family members pass away, and people your own age that you sat in class with and played handball with or footy with, they're passing away. Time is short. And it's time to listen to the word of God. It's time. When you give your life to Jesus, God is at work in you from day one. And it doesn't stop until that work is complete, and it continues to go even when you are feeling spiritually dry, when you're going through those tough spiritual days, which we all go through. Certainly you can interrupt the process and send it backwards a little. It's a bit like snakes and ladders, isn't it? You can go backwards for a time. It is a mystery. It is a mystery. But God is at work always. And finally, the importance of judging well. Now, that's not a popular term these days, even in the church. But did you know that there is good judging and there is bad judging in the Bible? Can we spot the difference? Verse 30, Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches and birds can make nests in its shade." So bad judging is when you make up your own rules and force other people to live by them. Or when you take the kind of judging that is God's alone for the day of judgment at the end and you decide you're going to enact it now. That's the bad kind of judging. So you don't make up your own rules and force other Christians to live by them, certainly not non-Christians. And you leave a part of judging to God at the end of the age, the sin that people have committed against God. That's his alone to judge. But there is good judging, where you take what God has said, you apply it to your life, and you insist that you are going to live by it, no matter what influence is brought to bear on your life. You stand firm. Can this be found in the teaching of Jesus, not just blurred somewhere there between the lines in a parable? Can it be found in the teaching of Jesus? Absolutely it can. Look at this. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, we've got them both here, really. Jesus said, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Sermon on the Mount. Do not judge. Is that the end of the story, though? Not long after this, Jesus said, "Do not judge according to external appearance, but judge with proper judgment." I'm glad I read on there for just like three chapters. Now it's starting to make sense, especially in light of the parables. And the context here was the healing of the disabled man at the pool of Bethesda. And it was a Sabbath that day. Once again, they conclude, it must be Satan at work. It must be. Jesus can't be from God. It must be Satan at work. And we looked at that in Mark chapter 3 last week. But the point I'm making now is when it comes to the work of the Lord, you are absolutely required to make a correct judgment. It's called discernment. God is at work in you, even though some days you are sure he's not, or you seem sure he's not. He is at work in you. Verse 33, Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. That's a relief, isn't it? that God doesn't give us more than we could understand, because some days it comes like a flood, doesn't it? In fact, verse 34, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. So notice the subtlety there. The parables were not explained publicly. By this time, even the miracles of Jesus are being misunderstood. We've got to the point in his ministry where he could heal someone, and all they care about is that it was the Sabbath, or the guy picked up his mat or something. And so Jesus is now speaking in parables. The time has come to either reward people who listen with more or take from people who won't listen. That's why the parables are being used now. He didn't start with them, but they developed through his ministry after a certain time in Galilee, after a certain amount of teaching and miraculous evidence. Not because the parables were so simple that everyone could understand them. They didn't. They clearly didn't understand them, not even the disciples. But because they prompted a decision in people, acceptance or rejection. The English theologian A.W. Pink, who lived years ago, said it like this. Here we learn why Christ, in the latter stages of his ministry, taught in parables. It was to conceal from those who had rejected him what was comprehensible only to those who had spiritual discernment. In other words, what he's saying is, someone who responds correctly and is rewarded with more goes into a deeper level of understanding that that person who rejected Jesus cannot handle. So they can't be given the next stage. You listen correctly in the beginning, yes, you will go to the next stage. But if you don't, you cannot get the next stage of understanding. The popular definition of Christ's parables is that they were earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. How man gets things upside down. The truth is that his parables were heavenly stories with an earthly meaning, having to do with his earthly people in earthly connections. Well, however you like to describe it, he's being clever there, but however you like to describe it, here's the situation. The spiritual nugget that Jesus had for people in the parables, in all of his teaching, that real gold nugget cannot be handled by people who reject him. It cannot. And so the meaning is taken away from them. But those who turn to him in saving faith are rewarded with understanding. Hasn't Jesus just told us that? Verse 25, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. This is what he was referring to. Parables are a form of judgment. Just as at the end of the age, some are rewarded and some are punished eternally, so it is in the here and now, as God watches how people respond to his teaching, including all of us here today. It is possible for what you know about God to be taken from you in the here and now, as God judges how you listen. It's scary, isn't it? Learn to judge things the way God judges them. He makes large trees out of small seeds. You need to look at the seed and know what God can potentially do with it. See the tree in the seed. Seeds which don't look much, a bit like you and me, really, in many ways. But seeds which flourish if they are nurtured properly. Every man, woman, and child listening to him today is given an opportunity now to respond, to listen properly to Jesus, to stop listening to the other voices in this world, to listen closely, and to listen with intent. Then to allow Jesus to change you slowly from within, a change which is imperceptible in many ways to others watching on. But it will be seen by those who have the eyes to see these things, especially over the long term. Changes revealed after years of refinement. We took our granddaughters to the beach the other day. It wasn't this week, obviously, but when the sun was out, and they wanted to sit in a rock pool, right? Nice, safe rock pool, and I sat on a rock, and the rock was absolutely smooth. I don't think my backside is the first one ever to have sat on that rock. It was polished stone, really. Nice little seat. But you see, over time, that's what can happen. Those rough edges are smoothed off. You don't see it every day. If you took a photo of it over years, you might see it. The changes can happen slowly. Years of work. God is doing years of work in you. He wants to begin today, perhaps. It could be day one of the work God wants to do in you. Because Is he doing this because you're so smart, you know what you're doing? You're clever because you got it all worked out? No, because he will do this because you are given the opportunity to respond to the seed that he's scattering. What little understanding you are being presented with now, what little opportunity to growth, you make a response. Will you accept it and learn it, or will you just turn the other way, step toward him or step away? For those who turn to him in saving faith, more is added, more understanding, more refining, more like Jesus. And anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we might be people who have listened to you today. And we confess there are times when we've listened to other voices, we've taken the advice of all sorts of people. Some of them meant well, some of them did not, but we have a tendency to be distracted. Focus our attention now on Jesus, the one who scatters the seed, the farmer with God's word, and may he find good soil in us today. We pray that over the years we would just be more and more refined, that we would grow in understanding. We think of Christians who seem to know the Bible from back to front, and we want to be like them. Lord, would you give us wisdom, give us understanding, and refine us through it so that we might be more like Jesus in thought, in word, and in deed. In his name we give you thanks and all the praise. Amen.